Welcome to the Bridegroom Speaks podcast from Hope's Garden. We are so excited for season 3, the year of the bridegroom. We pray that these episodes will prepare your heart for his coming.
Welcome to Man of Hope at Hope's Garden community. Today I have with me Laura Ercolino. She is the foundress of the Hope's Garden community and also of Man of Hope. Yeah, it's just a pleasure to be with you and to be part of that community. I think you're doing great work, and all the coaches and everybody who is in that community, it's just a joy. Yeah, today we want to talk about God's vision for marriage and touch upon the theology of the body. And Laura, you would like to talk a little bit about your own experience. And yeah, thank you for being here with me today.
Thank you, Bernard, for hosting this podcast for the Hope's Garden community. It's a pleasure to be here and a joy just to watch our community grow.
Yeah, thank you. Great. So yeah, the God's vision for marriage, right? I mean, that's a big one. And Hope's Garden community uses as one of the big resources John Paul II and his theology of the body, which is just, yeah, magnificent, groundbreaking. And I think the theology of the body answers to many problems of our present time. And I just want to give a very brief summary on the theology of the body. Of course, there's so much more, but and then Laura, I just give the word to you and you can follow up on this. So there are three main themes of the theology of the body, which I want to share very briefly, which is number one, the spousal meaning of the body, number two, the personalistic norm, and number three, the communion of persons. And all these three main themes, I will describe very briefly in 1 second, and all these three themes are found in Gaudium et Spes 24:3. Gaudium et Spes is one of the main constitutions of the Second Vatican Council, and John Paul II used Gaudium et Spes 24:3 many times in his theology of the body. He just uses it over and over again. I want to just very briefly read it, and then we talk about these three main themes. Indeed, the Lord Jesus, when he prays to the Father that all may be one as we are one, thus offering wisdom closed to human reason, indicates a certain likeness between the union of the divine persons and the union of God's sons in truth and love. This likeness shows that man, who is the only creature on earth God willed for itself, cannot fully find himself except through a sincere gift of self. Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of stuff in here. It's very packed. But the main thing is we can only find ourselves fully if we give ourselves as a gift to others. And I think that's crucial for the theology of the body. And that's already the spousal meaning of the body. Our bodies, male and female, speak the language of spousal bridal love. Mm-hmm. And I mean, male and female body together, but also in relationship together, we have our bodies speak the language of bride and bridegroom, basically. That's what we were created for. And so that's number one. We can only fully find ourselves through a sincere gift of selves. Like as simple as I can, the spousal meaning of the body.
And, they added so much there. I mean, John Paul takes teachings on what he calls givenness were life-changing for me, absolutely mm-hmm. life-changing. So I just want to insert here real quick that if you haven't read Theology of the Body, start learning more about it. There's so many resources out there. And also you can find John Paul II's A Meditation on Givenness as a free PDF online. And I don't know how many times you can say something has been life-changing, but the teachings of John Paul II, Theology of the Body, Love and Responsibility, and his Meditation on Givenness just were life-changing. I can't think of a better word for it for me. Really just, Yeah, amazing, amazing. And so I highly recommend that. And just meditating on that fact that we were created to be self-gift to one another, mm-hmm. and giving and the receiving that involves. If everyone knew that they were gift to someone else and that other people were gift to them, mm-hmm. how would that change? How would that change how you walk through the world?
Absolutely. Yes, that's so true. I mean, the theology of the body was life-changing for me as well, 100%. And we read that also in that Gaudium et Spes 24:3 just now, where it says that there is a certain likeness between the union of the divine persons and the union of God's sons in truth and love. That means that we human creatures have a likeness to God. Like there is a similarity. We are created in his image and likeness, and there's a likeness between the divine persons, like in their union, towards the union that we creatures can have with each other or with God. There's a likeness. And that underscores what you just said, because the three persons in the Trinity, they are a mutual self-gift to each other in the most divine manner for all eternity, right? The Father gives himself totally to the Son gives himself back totally to the Father. And that love, that gift of self, is a third person, the Holy Spirit. And because there is this likeness between us, God's sons, and truth and love, and sons here, of course, also means daughters, right? We have to also say that. And because of that likeness, and that's the second point that I mentioned, the personalistic norm, the second main theme of the theology of the body, because of that likeness, it is never licit, like it is never allowed, permissible to use a human person. That's basically what the personalistic norm means. It's only licit, it is only allowed, it's only permissible to love a human person, but never use. That's the personalistic norm. And the third main theme is the communion of persons. And we have also seen that in Gaudium et Spes. The communion of persons is our goal. And the spousal meaning of the body lived out correctly in love leads to a communion of persons. And that's just unbelievable. And we see that in the likeness with God, that right. I give myself totally away as a gift. And some atheist philosophers would say, okay, if I give myself totally away as a gift, then I lose myself for eternity, right? So right. That's atheist philosophy, but that's not biblical philosophy. That's not our biblical view. And what John Paul II underscores here in the theology of the body and like reading the Bible is, no. If we give ourselves sincerely away as a gift, then I find myself in a new state, in a new, I would say, you know, level of existence. Like I find myself in the communion of persons.
And I think this is so important, so beautiful. And it's like foundational to everything we teach at Hope's Garden, because mm-hmm. the way that I simplify it when I teach this is that what we're to do is to arrive already loved by Christ in all our other relationships. Because if we claim Christ as our first love and we set that as our priority, spending time with him, letting him love us, then he does everything to an excessive amount, right? He does everything in abundance. And so he does two things I want to stress here as we're talking about this communion of persons, is that we begin to live then in communion with Christ, who is infinite love and infinite self-gift. And so as we're living in communion with him and then entering all our other relationships in this already a communion of persons within us, mm-hmm. we can give ourselves as gift to others, never running out, never running dry, because Amen. He continues. It's him we're giving, right? It's the union of me and Christ that I'm offering as gift. And the other thing that learning how to live in union with Christ did for me was I realized that as I let him love me, as I learned to listen and discern his voice in prayer, He told me who I am. He revealed to me what the gift of myself is that I have to offer to others, right? So he helped me to become the person he created me to be, the woman he created me to be, so that I could more fully make a gift of myself to others.
I love that. That's basically heaven, right? Like in heaven, the only thing that there will be is a communion of persons, all the saints, the angels with God, right?
Right. Like,
that's our calling. That's our vocation.
God, right. Because that's the Trinity is that union. Like you said, it's that total self-giving and receiving. I love John Paul II's phrase, and I'm not going to get it exactly right. Maybe you have it memorized better, but he, at one point he says that as we're learning to do this making a gift of self. And the thing that I want to stress here, when we're talking about marriage, relationships between men and women, this really only works when both the man and the woman are both willing to make a gift of self and to receive the gift of the other, right? Sometimes we don't receive the gift of the other, and that causes harm. And so in a healthy, holy relationship where we're both giving and receiving, then John Paul II says that the giving and the receiving interpenetrate and become one. Mm-hmm. It becomes indistinguishable. And this goes back to the atheist comment. So if you're in a relationship where both are making a self gift to each other, nobody ever runs out. There's no losing yourself now. Mm-hmm. You're only gaining by giving, right? Because you're both giving and receiving. And so this idea of making a self gift, in a sense, it requires knowing and understanding the spousal meaning of the body. The fact knowing that everyone you meet is meant to be gift and has been given to you, John Paul II would say, that everyone you meet, even the teller at the bank, or the clerk at the grocery store, your friends, and of course your spouse, but everyone is gift to you. Every interaction with another human person, there is something given to you from the Father in that interaction. And that just, it really does. It changes the way you walk through the world. It changes the way that you engage, even if it's just making contact and smiling instead of looking and being grouchy. When you realize that every person in your path is gift and is placed there by God, nothing is incidental or a coincidence. Like you have to live differently. You can't learn John Paul II's teachings and keep living the way you were living. That's what I have found.
So true.
You have to change the way you're living. Because you just know, it just resonated so deeply in my heart. Like I knew what he was saying, truth.
Yes.
I knew it. I didn't have to understand it intellectually even yet. Mm-hmm. It's my first taste of it. Knew this is what my heart has been longing for. This is truth.
Yeah, it's amazing. Hallelujah. Everything is providentially gifted, right? God, like there's a reason in our existence, and you start seeing the dignity of the human person, right?
Yes.
You start seeing your own dignity. You start seeing the dignity of others. Like even the people that are in other cars when you move towards a traffic light or, you know, an intersection.
Yes.
Even those people in these cars that you are all together in that moment at the intersection, it sounds very like nothing important happening here, but this moment is providentially gifted. I think from a Christian perspective, we are called to pray for everybody and to love everybody, right?
I started the habit of, you know, when I'm in like the doctor's waiting room, you know, just offering a prayer to Mary, like for all those here, I offer a memorare, especially those who don't know to pray for themselves or have no one else to pray for them. I mean, that's such an easy way as we move through our day to stay in union with Christ and to offer, really, those are, you know, works of mercy and love, to offer prayer for those in the grocery store in this moment, Lord. Like, we're all here together in this grocery store in this moment because you've put us all here. So I just pray, I just cover everyone in Mary's mantle. Just simple. you know, but that, yeah. And that helps then, because we do, we have this, as John Paul II talks about too, this concupiscence, right? So we tend, everything tends to slide towards disorder, and that happens interiorly too. So if we don't start these practices, these habits that keep our focus on the dignity of every human person and our calling as brothers and sisters in Christ to pray for one another, we'll forget and we'll slide right back into the old self, right? Yeah. So I try to put these little, just little simple things into practice daily as I go about my day that help me to remember, no, I'm gift and everyone around me is gift. And I need to lift us all up to the Father.
Yeah, I love that. And what's true about every life situation where we meet other people is particularly true for God's vision for marriage, right? You want to say a little bit more about that? Like, how does everything you just said apply to the sacrament of matrimony?
Well, I think if we just go back to where you started talking about the Holy Trinity and the Holy Trinity being perfect mutual self-giving and receiving. And like you said, as male and female, we are created in the image and likeness of God. And so marriage as a sacrament, so sacraments make visible invisible realities hidden in God. And so the sacrament of marriage makes visible this hidden reality of this mutually self-giving, life-creating love that exists in the Holy Trinity. So marriage between a man and a woman is meant to be like a living icon of the Holy Trinity. And then family and marriage, the home, is the domestic church. So it's also meant to be an image of this love, like St. Paul tells us, of Christ the bridegroom with his bride, the church. So if every family is a little domestic church, in every family, then we're meant to be an icon of the way Christ the bridegroom loves his bride, the church. And so C.S. Lewis would call it the weight of glory. This is the weight on our shoulders as Catholic Christians of the glory that we are called to, that this is the vision God has for our marriages and families, that they would be living icons of the Holy Trinity. I mean, it's astounding, right? That this is what we're called to. This is the responsibility that he gives us in this world. And so a dream of mine is to start getting the message to the younger generation. So as they enter into marriage, they are already understanding this, right? That they are gift and that they're called to make a gift of self to one another in marriage, that needs to be the foundation of marriage. Because when we're not living up to God's plan, things go awry and it's ugly and it's harmful and it's damaging. And one of the things that I learned from my own experience is that what's happening between the husband and the wife, if it's not healthy and holy, and no marriage is perfect, right? We should like give that little disclaimer. We're not saying that you should be, there shouldn't be conflicts, that you should in every moment be making a perfect self-gift. No, we have concupiscence, we are fallen. And that's where John Paul II starts us in Theology of the Body. He helps us to understand what this means, that we have a fallen human nature now and we're in need of Christ and his redemption, right? We have to always keep that in mind. We're not talking about perfect marriages, but we're talking about two fallen human beings who are both striving every day to be a little bit holier than they were the day before, to be a little bit more of a gift, to receive a little bit more graciously and gratefully the gift of the other, right? That should be our goal every day. And by the grace of God and the grace we receive from the sacrament, it is possible to be a little bit holier, to have a little bit holier of a marriage day by day. But when you don't have that mutuality in the marriage, when both the spouses are not striving for that, and when one is, like you said about the personalistic norm, that a human person should never be used. A human person was created by love to be loved. That's it. Never to be used. And when there is use in a marriage, and there's different ways that we use one another, maybe we can talk about this on part two of this conversation, the different ways that we use one another, because we're not just talking about, a lot of people tend to go straight to physically using sexually using, but there's a lot of other ways that we use one another besides that, which of course that is a mortal sin, to use someone sexually for your own personal gratification. That's never okay. But when that is happening, it's very damaging, not only to the spouse who's being used, but if you think about it, in marriage, our greatest responsibility as spouses is to help one another in our journey to salvation, to help one another in our process of sanctification, to walk one another to heaven through this fallen world with all its pitfalls and the enemy constantly after us, right? But we're to help one another to grow holier and make it to heaven. And so if you're being used by your spouse, it causes things like depression, anxiety, hopelessness, despair. You lose that fact that you have dignity. You lose your own identity. You can no longer make a gift of yourself to your spouse. You're no longer free, right? John Paul II also told us that real love, especially marital intimacy and love, needs to be free, total, faithful, and fruitful. Those four words. If someone is abusing you or using you, you are no longer free. You're being oppressed by another person, which means you cannot freely give the gift of yourself anymore. Mm. Not only can you freely give the gift of yourself to your spouse, you can't give the gift of yourself to your children or at work or to your aging parents. So it affects the whole family structure, which then affects all of the culture and the society. No sin is personal. And what happens in the home seeps out into the world around us. We take it out with us when we go out. We take it out with us when we go to church, when we go into our parish activities. We can no longer give the gift of ourselves there. So what's happening in the home between the two spouses is absolutely foundational and fundamental to what happens in our parishes, in our workplaces, and out.
Yes, absolutely. I mean, yeah, and I agree. I think all of it is true. It's hard for the world to see that. I, like, during Christmas time, I was home and talking to many of my relatives and friends who are not, like, immersed in that teaching of John Paul II or the Bible or the church, and to make them see that actually the things you do privately affect not just you, but your immediate family and the whole society. It's very hard, like, to explain that in simple terms, but I think you just did a wonderful job. And I totally agree.
I mean, I think of it this way, right? Like, maybe this will make it even simpler. We can just put it in really practical terms, okay? If a husband and a wife in their private bedroom have some sort of conflict, or one uses the other and that's upsetting and hurtful, then the next morning, say it's the woman who gets used in some way, and she gets up and she's irritable, she's angry at her husband, but doesn't feel safe to express that anger. So instead, that anger has to go somewhere. So it comes out at the kids as she's getting them ready for school in the morning. So now all the kids leave for school, either however they have taken in the mom's anger. You know, maybe it made them angry. Maybe it made them sad. Maybe they're thinking, wow, it must be my fault that mom's so angry this morning, right? So then they go off to school in, air quotes, a bad mood of some sort. Then that bad mood's going to affect everyone they meet at school. The mom goes off to, you know, rosary group or work or wherever she's going, and that mood seeps out and everyone else she meets. You see, so this is how what happens in that private space between a man and a woman in their marriage very quickly seeps out into the world.
And the strongest into their children, what you just said, right? And that, and what's actually implemented in what we just talked about, the three main themes of the theology of the body and Gaudium et Spes. What is actually necessary for me to give myself as a sincere gift to another person and to my bride, to particularly in matrimony, it is actually foundational and necessary that I understand myself as a gift, that I can see myself as a gift, that I need to have the emotional maturity. I need to have a certain self-mastery or self-possession.
Yes.
And if a married couple cannot give that message to children and they don't start to see themselves as a gift and start developing an emotional maturity, start developing to experiencing, not just understanding, but actually experiencing and feeling themselves as a gift and mature emotionally, and later on develop their identity, develop their self-mastery, self-possession, like all of that, it has a ripple effect, right?
Yes. Exactly. That's what happens then, right? Is because we don't experience that as children, and then we get married and we're clueless. And now we have this spousal relationship and then our own children, and we just keep repeating this cycle, and it needs to stop. It needs to stop. We need to start doing our own healing work, I think, has to come first for parents and spouses. You've got to start really deepening your prayer life, really going. For me, it's always adoration or in front of the big crucifix at church. That's where it's the easiest for me to really go deep with Jesus, to let him in there to show me, how am I using people? How am I still not seeing how I am gift? How am I still either myself violating my own dignity or allowing others because I don't have healthy boundaries, right? We need to do that work. And if that means going to coaching or therapy, whatever we need to do, but we need to heal the wounds from our childhood. You know, that's part of how the Lord does that work in us, is taking us back to where in our childhood do we not experience that truth that we are gift, that we were created for love and only love, that we were created with the dignity of the daughters and sons of God. I highly also recommend reading The Weight of Glory by C.S. Lewis, another free PDF you can find online, but that is eye-opening and life-changing. I read The Weight of Glory and the Meditation on Givenness at the same time, and together it was like, whoa. It is mind-blowing, heart-blowing, and just life-changing to start pondering these thoughts that this is truth. This is who God says you are, and this is who God says your spouse is, your mother is, your father is, your children are. This is truth. So as we let him do that work and we start to realize what a gift we are and what a gift others are, then like we said, we have to change the way we're living. We have to change the way we're treating the people, and starting with those whom he has entrusted to us, right? He's entrusted first your spouse to you to be another Christ to you. And then he's entrusted your children, if you have children, to you, or your family of origin. These are all people God has entrusted to you. That's another weight of this glory, right? Mm-hmm. That he actually entrusts us with other souls and asks us to care for them the way he would. Mm-hmm. We are his hands and feet. And so we have to see the gift. I started just this Christmas, I made one for my daughter's family, and I hope to make them for others. But I always thought, wow, how would it have changed my parenting if I had had a big, you know, one of those decorative signs, right, in hanging in my kitchen that said, we are given to one another, or you are gift to me from the Father. You know, what if we were hanging those, painting and hanging? So I did. I painted my daughter one to hang in her house, you know, with all the children's names on it and her husband, that they have been given to one another as gift from the Father. Like if that had been right there in front of me, every time I was irritable or upset or overtired or stressed, like would that have maybe helped me to go to the Lord with those emotions and not let them seep out on my children, to look at the child in front of me who was having a tantrum and say, okay, no, wait, there is a gift in this moment. It's hard to see, but you are still gift even when you're having a tantrum, right? Like, how would that change the way that we treat the people around us?
Mm. I love that. Thank you so much for sharing. Yeah. Yeah, that's amazing. God is good.
Yes, he is. I know we had other things we'd wanted to get to in this episode, but I think this was a really good place to start, was just the overview of John Paul II's Theology of the Body, and an invitation to listeners to go out there and find more information. There's so many speaking and teaching on the theology, resources everywhere. Go find some. And then also this idea, like you said, it's foundational to the whole theology of the body. This idea that we were made to be self-gift, and that it's giving ourselves to someone And I would just add, and in being received, mm-hmm. that then we come to understand the gift that we are.
Mm-hmm. Yes. It's not just love to give out of love, it's also love to receive out of love, right?
Yes.
And I love what you said earlier, that we are created out of love, by love, and for love, right?
Yes.
This is wonderful. And understanding all of that, I mean, it truly changes everything. It changes the way you view the world, yourself. Even me, like I was already a counselor in Austria when I started to learn deeper about the theology of the body. And like it changed the way I was treating my clients. Like I felt like, I mean, for myself and the responses I received from my clients, I felt like, whoa, my whole practice made a huge leap upwards, forwards.
Yes.
Yeah, I'm just very grateful. The whole theology of the body is a gift to our times.
Yes, it is. Yeah, it's one of the parts of the remedy, I think, one of the main ingredients of the remedy that our culture needs right now is the teachings of John Paul II.
100%.
Maybe we could end with a prayer and ask for the intercession of John Paul II.
I love that.
Okay, would you lead us in a prayer?
Yes, thank you. I can do it, yeah. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Lord Jesus, we thank you, we praise you, we love you, and we glorify your name, Lord Jesus, and we ask you that you glorify yourself through our lives. We just celebrated Christmas, and today is the January 6th, Feast of Epiphany, where we meditate on the gift that God has given us, which is himself, like Christ, Jesus as a baby comes to us. And Lord, we thankful we receive you as this divine gift. And you just not like left it there 2000 years ago. You come to us every day in spirit and in truth at Holy Mass and the Eucharist. You give yourself as a gift to us every day, every single moment. And Lord Jesus, thank you for that. We praise you. Help us to understand that gift that you are. Help us to understand it and receive it better and more and more. And help us to understand the way you have given ourselves to us as a gift. Like I am a gift to myself and I'm called to give that gift to others. And even if my words may not describe that in the best possible way, maybe we want to look at John Paul II, who just did masterclass work here, and John Paul II, we really want to ask you for your intercession to help to understand your theology of the body and your theology and philosophy. That's all of that. It's packed in there. Help us to understand it better, deeper. Help us to apply it to our lives. Help us to see our own dignity. Help us to see the dignity of every human person, particularly of those that are closest to us. Yeah, Jesus, we praise you, we thank you, we ask for the intercession of Our Lady, St. Joseph, St. Michael, Gabriel, Raphael, and John Paul II. Amen.
Amen. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you, Laura, for today. We want to follow up to everybody who is listening to this episode of our Men of Hope podcast. Laura and I will follow up with a part two of God's Vision for Marriage and the Theology of the Body.
Yes, we will. I look forward to it.
Yes. Thank you, Laura. God bless you.
God bless you too.
For more resources and our consecration to Christ the Bridegroom, visit hopesgarden.com. The sanctuary where the spousal love of Christ the Bridegroom heals hearts, marriages, and families. You may also want to join our community powered by Mighty Networks. Download the Mighty Networks app and find us at Hope's Garden.